This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Noel and Chuang. It's 7:48 in the morning, and in Malaysian politics, one day you're in, another day you're out, but you can always find yourself back in, apparently. And this may be the case for Datuk Sri Dajit Razak, who could be making a comeback to Parliament within the next 2 years, despite being found guilty of corruption last year in one of the many case trials under the 1MDB scandal.
Of course, he's appealing this conviction. He's always maintained his innocence, saying that the charges just against him were politically motivated. The 1MDB scandal was a straw that broke UMNO's back, which caused them to lose Putrajaya 3 years ago. But now they're back in power, and many fear that party leaders facing criminal charges, the so-called court cluster, might not escape scot-free.
And there have been rumours that Najib might be made the economic advisor to Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri, although there has been no acknowledgement about the matter from either party. It's still speculation. But, you know, these rumours are circulating in the wider sphere. So is the return of UMNO and Najib a sign of a similar type of politics and rule in government that we saw 3 years ago? For more on this, we're speaking to political commentator Dr. Oh Isan, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Isan, good morning. Always good to have you. So how will Najib's possible appointment as advisor to Prime Minister Ismail Sabri help both of their standing despite a corruption conviction hanging over Najib's head? I guess the question is, why is this even being discussed?
Well, you see, Ismail Sabri is trying to get parliamentary support from whichever faction or source that he could get his hand on. For example, he appointed Muhyiddin as the National Recovery Council chairperson in order to hopefully rob in the Bersatu parliamentarians. And then he so-called extended olive branch to Pakatan Harapan and signed this essentially a confidence and supply agreement with them, thereby bringing them also to support him. And now, of course, his main challenge is to bring in the so-called court cluster or the mainstream faction within his own UMNO to support him. And what better to do that than, appointing Najib as his economic advisor, and hopefully that will bring them all in. So he will be the most popular prime minister in the history of Malaysia.
Why is Najib still popular?
Oh, you're talking about Najib and not Ismail Sabri. If Najib, I think he has a very good public relations team, which has been helping him since his 2018 electoral loss. If he could employ this team before the electoral loss, I think he would have won the election. So they touted him as the savior for especially the downtrodden, that he is able to hand out brims to them when he was prime minister. So it's a combination of sort of nostalgia with the difficult economic situation at the country. I mean, at the moment.
Isan, sitting as you do where you are in the University of Tasmania, sitting as you do in your seat, what do you think is the perception among foreign diplomatic circles, business circles, investment circles about, the possible return of these old faces?
Well, I think the foreign investors' circles are nowadays more or less immune to what is happening in Malaysia. And that is because, you have seen changes in prime ministers, but it's essentially still the old faces coming back. It's like a musical chair of rotation in the government. So I think absent any sort of more fundamental reform in our economic policy, I think foreign investors would in any case be quite reluctant to put more money into Malaysia nowadays.
Fresh money maybe, but just in terms of consolidating their positions, what is your anecdotal feedback?
Well, for example, I have heard about local investors, local businessmen who are now trying to diversify away from Malaysia to our neighboring countries such as Vietnam and so on, because they found that, this is not even like, having a different prime minister or something like that. It's about, for example, they want to do a certain new business, build a certain new factory. If they were here in Malaysia, they would need up to 3 years in order to procure a license. And in Vietnam, which is a foreign country, it would take them only half a year. So, of course, they rushed to Vietnam. Yeah.
How much support might BN lose or actually gain in the coming general elections, GE15, if, you know, Najib's court case, the 1MDB scandal and corruption conviction case is thrown out?
You see, the BN, or more specifically, UMNO derives its main support from the rural community. And I think the Najib's conviction or the court clusters cases and so on, these are at the least of their concerns, at the very back seats of their mind. For them, it's all about, you know, socio-economic assistance and so on. So if Ismail Sabri, for example, in the coming budget, will be able to roll out more socio-economic assistance, I think his coalition would win quite handsomely, especially these rural seats.
Ihsan, what do you make of Najib's recent interview with Reuters, where he said he hasn't ruled out seeking re-election to parliament within the next 2 years? Is this a sign of confidence in what the outcomes of all the corruption trials he's facing might be?
Well, number one is that. Number two, well, ever since he lost the 2018 general election, he has been plotting for a political comeback. We haven't seen the last of Najib yet. And now that we have like three ministers, prime ministers within the space of 3 years, so why not him? I think he's confident that, number one, he could clear himself in court, at least from his perspective. And number two, I think he's even more confident that he has a better grip on the handling, at least the economy, if not the pandemic, if he were prime minister again. Yeah.
So we're running a poll. Has Datuk Sri Najib Razak successfully rehabilitated his image? 82% of our respondents say no. What is your view?
Well, I think, our audience, it's mainly urban centric, and indeed, I think among the urban voters, ever since 2015, Najib's image has not been a perfect one, what with 1MDBs and so on. But if you were to take, I think, more polls from among the rural constituencies, I think you might have a rather different picture. I think the numbers might be reversed. You know, yeah. I mean, 82% is in favor of him. Yeah.
Ihsan, what does it say about the state of Malaysian politics that there are so many politicians able to come back from scandal, from serious, abuse of power or serious misconduct? The fact that they can come back into the political fold and still hold positions of leadership, does that say something about the country?
I think it says a lot about primarily the rural part of the country. Whether we like it or not, rural constituencies make up about 60% of the total number of parliamentary seats. And many of our friends in the rural areas, they still have very, shall we say, feudalistic mindset. Huh? They still like, for them, all these scandals and so on, in our eyes, it will be something very negative and very bad. But, for some of our compatriots, all this, showing off of wealth and so on is actually a symbol that the particular leader is actually very able. So unless we are able to change this sort of mindset, and I think it will be a very long process, I think you will see this sort of musical chair recycled politicians, tired faces and so on, still going on for a very long period to come.
Ihsan, thanks so much for weighing in with your comments. That was political commentator Dr. Oh Ihsan, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, talking to us about the state of play for Najib Razak and just politics in Malaysia in general.
Yeah, so I think basic bread and butter issues need to be addressed, right? So that's what we assume that the B40 group will be most interested in. And if I also may want to add, even the middle class also may be very concerned about things like that, right? Before, okay, we know 1MDB is there and all that, but what hangs is our job security and so forth.
I do think I disagree a little bit with Ihsan when he's sort of pinned the blame, not blame, but he pointed to the rural communities and their feudalistic mindset. I'm not sure that that's, I do think that's an oversimplification. And I do think that urban communities also enable the current political system. You know, so we're all complicit in the way things are at the moment. But without a doubt, when basic needs aren't met, you know, then these higher level notions of integrity and principles, you know, it's easy to kind of overlook that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of grain of truth in that, right? You can see the share markets have rallied some way, about 50 to 100 points since the Ismail Sabri government
because
came in.
Because they like certainty.
They like certainty, and don't care about the long term.
And to be fair, businesses
framework.
Also, not just the stock market.
Right.
Investors,
so
businesses.
Yeah, complicity. Yeah, it is a element of truth in that.
So we do have a poll on our BFM Twitter account that's still running for another hour. We're asking you: has Datuk Sri Najib Razak successfully rehabilitated his image? Tell us why or why not. Do weigh in on that. We'll be looking at the results throughout the day. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.